I am growing in gratitude as a follower of Jesus Christ and have experienced significant victory over the lasting effects of shame and how I chose to mask that pain with drugs, alcohol, relationship and sexual addiction, as well as pornography, but continue to struggle with fear, pride, anger, self-pity, selfishness, control, and codependency, all rooted in a deep sense of worthlessness. My name is Kent. I grew up on the shores of Lake Erie in a rural area of upstate New York with five brothers. This certainly put me at a disadvantage when it came to understanding the heart and the mind of a woman. We were brought up Episcopalian, so I understood who Jesus Christ was, but had no personal relationship with him. My father died when I was 8 from a brain tumor, traumatized by his childhood and using alcohol to mask his pain. This left me abandoned and without a role model of what it meant to be either a father or a husband. My mother, married to an alcoholic, was a classic codependent, trying to keep everything together and fix everything and everyone so that she could feel safe. She taught her boys really well. A single mom with 6 boys made life interesting, to say the least. She had her work cut out for her and did an amazing job with the limited resources and tools that she had available to her. However, our family regularly used guilt and shame in an attempt to secure the outcomes each of us desired. This left me feeling like I just did not measure up, and ultimately with a deep sense of worthlessness. As a child, I was in full-blown rebellion, trying to protect myself from messages of criticism and desperate to find validation from others. During my teens and 20s, I would use a combination of drugs, alcohol, and validation from the opposite sex to mask the pain that I was in. I would measure my sense of worth based on how others viewed me. My identity was defined by others. My popularity was paramount. I was a true codependent in the making. The goal became how to please others as opposed to any real sense of self. During this period, one of my brothers took his life, and I was overwhelmed by feelings of guilt and shame, wondering if there was anything I could have done to prevent it. Life became mostly about masking the fear and the pain that I lived in every day. I had little in the way of values or a moral compass. It was all about getting what I want, when, and how I wanted it. My actions were based on what I needed to fill that void in my soul. I was a raging codependent and had little sense of any boundaries or a definition of who I was because I had never developed a true sense of self. I continually tried to force my circumstances to be as I desired or would attempt to make life work as I thought it should and saw myself as a victim when it was not as I would want it to be. Even during these years of pure rebellion, there was so much evidence of God's grace in my life. God protected me and was with me in so many ways as he still had a purpose for my life. So was my family, by the way. After all, we were really good codependents. During my 30s, I wandered aimlessly around Southern California, entertaining Kent and seeking validation. It had been a formula for me. Then I met my precious wife, ex-wife, She was everything I believed I needed, but she was forbidden fruit. She was still married, but once again, the lack of healthy boundaries in my life at that time allowed me to pursue her. She had emotionally checked out of her marriage, and I saw myself as her rescuer. She was beautiful, witty, intelligent, pretty much everything I needed for me to feel complete in my identity. We fit like a glove, and the drama began. Her divorce was filled with conflict, and her three children, understandably, saw me as one of the obstacles to their parents being together. It became me against them, with my wife caught in the middle. We were the definition of an unblended family. Excuse me. The drama triangle is a model that perfectly described that home. There are three corners of the triangle. There's the rescuer, the victim, and the persecutor. It's the perfect playground for codependence and people like me who perceive themselves as victims. There is a person who plays the victim, the person who pressures, coerces, or persecutes that victim, and the rescuer who intervenes seemingly out of a desire to help the situation or the underdog, but really with an ulterior selfish motive because they want a specific outcome. The members of this system bounce between these roles, which is what creates all the drama. Welcome to my home. One moment a rescuer, the next feeling like a victim because the rescue was not working, and then becoming a persecutor or abuser. One can move between these roles over long periods of time, like days or weeks, or quickly, in minutes, moving randomly from one role to another. What drama it creates. Perhaps my biggest challenge, though, was that I most identified with that victim role because of my history, and as a victim, I felt truly justified in my lack of trust of others, my personal interpretation of events as I saw them, and therefore all my reactions, my responses, and my reprisals to others. When I felt victimized, which was most of the time, I would justify my persecution. It felt like me against them. Rather than support and affirmation, there was criticism and defensiveness. I would try and try desperately to fix our circumstances and get angry when the outcome I desired did not come about. This was an amazingly abusive and dysfunctional pattern. Rather than affirmation and identity, I experienced and oftentimes delivered disdain, contempt, rejection, and oftentimes condemnation and criticism for my behavior, which just made me feel more like a victim. My fear of being abandoned would cause me to aggressively pursue my wife, and she would withdraw to protect herself. I turned to my career for identity and experienced moderate success, just causing me even more self-reliance and pride. Reinforcing that I might actually be able to do this recovery stuff on my own terms. My need for validation once again caused me to have unrealistic expectations of my spouse and others in my life. Feeling rejected and desperate to feel accepted, I sought more and more physical validation that would indicate that my wife was truly with me and on my side. But as that began to unravel, I turned to a place that exposed me to little risk of personal rejection: internet pornography. I was caught viewing pornography in my office and one of the counselors suggested Celebrate Recovery. So I came to the back room here at Rolling Hills over 10 years ago. I visited for 3 weeks, but my pride convinced me that I could see why those guys needed a recovery group, but I certainly had life in control. I could certainly handle my issues in my own strength. I was face to face with the biggest obstacle to my personal recovery, denial. My wife caught me viewing pornography several more times while telling her that it had ended, causing more and more erosion of trust and self-esteem. It would be 2 years, however, before I would be broken enough to return to Celebrate Recovery. In my marriage, we saw one another as the enemy rather than recognizing Satan as the true enemy of our marriage and family, a common enemy, one who is using our past like pawns in a game to destroy our marriage. We had tried a tremendous amount of counseling here at church and also therapy with many extremely qualified counselors, but we were two strong-willed people who were afraid, unsafe, and wanted the pain to simply stop. Because of the hardness of our hearts, our counselors were just one more opinion, and we kept blaming one another as opposed to being willing to look at the log in our own eye. I both created and experienced extreme helplessness because I was focused on one thing, on things that were outside of my control, a true victim in my own heart and mind. It often felt like a chess match, using everything I could in an attempt to regain the illusion of control, using words as weapons, guilt, shame, constantly escalating, threatening divorce, and using anything I had control over to win. We would try timeouts, but they were taken with no agreement as to when we would return to discuss the issue at hand. So I would feel abandoned and like I just did not matter. When combined with my existing sense of worthlessness, that this perspective would generate fear, and that fear would motivate me to attempt to regain control, which typically defaulted to anger and pursuit. The more my wife used avoidance to maintain control in her life, the more I would use pursuit and anger in an attempt to gain control. We were in an interdependent relationship, living independent lives, causing even more hurt. The less we talked, cooperated, and worked together, the more polarized and angry we became. We were focused on one another rather than truly focusing on the unhealthy dance we had created together. We were caught in an endless spiral downwards as my need for validation increased and my wife withdrew to avoid the constant pain. It was a vicious cycle that seemed to have no end. Even the generosity of my heart and the things I would give were not given for the true benefit of others, but were somehow linked to something I needed, the validation, and when not responded to as expected, a victim in my own mind and heart. I felt completely controlled by my precious wife because I was a raging codependent and so desperately wanted to please her. One moment feeling victimized and wanting to run before she could hurt me anymore, and the next pursuing her so I would not be abandoned. It was the definition of crazy. It was a pattern I was very familiar with, fight or flight. Rather than faith in Christ, our faith was in trying to change one another, which was something that each of us had very little control over. It was amazing how powerless I was because I saw myself as a victim and tried to control things outside my control as a result. What a pattern. We saw our marriage as creating problems rather than understanding God created and uses his covenant of marriage to reveal the problems that we each individually need to work on in ourselves to become more like Christ, the log in our own eye. This ultimately caused us to become truly hopeless in our marriage. I had come to believe that trusting others either meant that they were just like me or that they would do the things I believed that they should be doing. This was what I based trust upon because it was in my comfort zone. I have come to recognize this as simply control. Trust is not about others being or doing what I need them to. It was at this point that I was broken enough to return to Celebrate Recovery to find what God had in store for me. What I discovered was that Celebrate Recovery was like nothing I had ever experienced before in my life. In share group, my brothers would simply listen to my pain, not try to fix me, and love and accept me for who I was. I began experiencing Christ's unconditional love. I had finally found a safe place to admit, confess, and submit my issues to God and to others rather than justifying and defending my behavior and trying to manage the symptoms on my own. What I began to experience was God's transformational love. In 1 John 1:9, God promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in James 5:16, we are promised, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I began experiencing God's forgiveness in my life and the beginnings of real healing. This allowed me to feel safe enough to engage in what we call a step study, where I began to peel away the layers of armor and defense that had protected me from the pain within, that sense of worthlessness. But it also kept me from any real relational intimacy. This is where the real work of Celebrate Recovery gets accomplished. I had never been able to trust others, but I began to experience that I could have intimacy and safety with my brothers here at Celebrate Recovery. Around this time, I also participated in another Christ-centered recovery program, ARMS, the Abuse Recovery Program Ministry. I began learning how patterns of using power and control were at the heart of abuse. I struggled and spent 21 months in a 12-month class because for the first 9 months, I could only identify with the victim role. I continued to struggle with denial and was unable to see myself as a persecutor or how unhealthy my role as a rescuer really was. Celebrate Recovery helped me to wrestle daily with the depths of my abandonment issues, my deep sense of worthlessness and insecurities, the lack of healthy boundaries, and symptoms like defensiveness, anger, and control that those wounds elicited as self-protecting behaviors that really prevented me from being vulnerable and getting hurt, but also actually sabotaging any ability to experience connection in my relationships. Connection requires vulnerability, and I felt just too vulnerable in too many areas of my life because they needed to be on my terms. My recovery work began removing the obstacles that prevented me from having an intimate relationship with Christ. Oftentimes, however, during this period, I would use what I was learning to try and change my ex-wife and family rather than yielding to God and allowing Him to change me. I continued to be emotionally abusive, spiritually abusive, using Scripture to try and achieve my objectives, and physically intimidating through continued pursuit. I continued to struggle with the deeper issues of pride, trust, anger, control, abusive behavior, self-pity, selfishness, and also allowed my fear and woundedness to get in the way of fulfilling God's purpose in my life because I saw myself as a victim. I thought of boundaries as rules for others rather than limits on myself. I used them to control. When my ex-wife and I would have a fight, I would go online and look at our spending, feel like a victim, and justify using it to control. I was struggling with perhaps the deepest issue of my life, the ability to trust God's sovereignty. Certainly, if I could not trust and yield to God, I could not submit or yield to my spouse. I looked at submission as being someone's doormat, rather than understanding submit to be ducking and getting out of God's way so that He has a clean shot to work on the offenders in our lives. So often, I would get in God's way and try to fix circumstances myself. Most of my recovery work at this point was self-reliant and in my own power. We all believe in something, and all I had ever trusted and believed in is standing right here before you. I was going through white-knuckle recovery as I had felt like I had some control over Kent. I had not submitted my life and will to God's care and control because I was afraid and had no ability to trust anyone other than myself. After all, self-reliance did have some true successes in my life. I wish I could tell you it has been a simple and easy journey for me, but it has not. My lack of ability to even trust God, my self-reliance, my pride, my fears, my thinking in terms of a victim mentality, all have been significant stumbling blocks to work through. The negative self-talk and critical voices have been at work in my head for over 50 years. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." While Romans 12:2 tells us, "To be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I knew I could not trust my heart and Celebrate Recovery's weekly teachings, the principles here, the step study, sharing with my brothers and accountability partners, all began contributing to the transforming of my mind. I have come to know that if I trust God and submit to His will, that He will make all things right, and I don't have to. I can leave the burdens of this world at the foot of the cross rather than trying to control every circumstance and everybody in my life. My recovery will be a lifelong process. Every week, I come to CR and learn something new from my brothers and sisters, my family in Christ. I need my accountability partners, as often when I am hurt, I am tempted to revert to what I know, protect myself, and blame others. I have experienced that healing is only possible in community and in relationship. So I am grateful for my forever family here at CR, because without them, God's immense growth within me would not have been possible. I know for the first time in my life what it means to be in a vulnerable, completely transparent, genuine, and honest relationship. And it has become hard to imagine relationship with others without that. Trust is coming slowly for me, but I know I can trust God to complete the good work He began in me. Recovery has been a painful and imperfect process for me. God is no longer someone I just have knowledge of. I now have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I have come to be able to let go of control and forgive others quickly because the steps helped me to forgive a great deal of the past, and I have experienced God's forgiveness in my own life. For many years, prayer was a way to ask God for the things that I wanted, because if life was not on my terms, I felt like a real victim. Prayer was me-centered, not God-centered. I was either the one on the throne or throwing a pity party for myself. They were prayers for God to change my circumstances instead of change me. Rick Warren says God does not change our circumstances. He changes our hearts and how we look at and perceive our circumstances. It is sad to me that when two people want the same thing, to feel supported, loved, cherished, and treated with kindness and respect, they can be so challenged together in accomplishing that. I believe this is why God makes marriage a covenant relationship, so that we can use a permanent relationship to see where we need to grow. But that is truly difficult when we have our eyes focused on our spouse, or we feel like and believe ourselves to be a victim. I now understand that marriage reveals problems and does not create them. It is God's greatest opportunity to do the excavating He needs to do in our own lives. I have come to know I have little control over anything other than myself and cleaning up my side of the street by growing in the character of Christ. It has been empowering to learn what I do not have control over and focus on just that. And that is what I learn here week after week at Celebrate Recovery. Today I experience more peace than ever, and yet my circumstances are exactly what my greatest fear was, being abandoned by the woman I truly loved. I also know it requires commitment from both spouses to heal and grow a marriage. For years, rather than my identity being in Christ, my wife, my marriage, and my career were what gave me identity. They were what gave me purpose to get out of bed in the morning, which really made it, again, all about me. I have come to believe that God will take away anything that gives us identity if it is not Him. And perhaps more importantly, I have begun to find joy even when He is doing that molding and pruning that can be immensely uncomfortable to me. I am now giving back what I have received and am actively involved in Celebrate Recovery here at Rolling Hills, delivering Celebrate Recovery ministry inside the prisons and looking at a more active role outside the prisons as well. If some of what I shared here tonight, this evening, seems familiar to you, there is a reason God led you here tonight. Celebrate Recovery is a safe place to come and work through those obstacles that prevent us from growing in the character of Christ. Working through those hurts, habits, and hang-ups that prevent us from experiencing the fullness of life that we each are promised. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the good work He has begun in me, and that I trust that He will complete. If this is your first time here, I hope that you were able to identify with some of my struggles, where my hope now comes from, and perhaps some of my victories. For those of you who have been here before, keep coming back. It works if you just continue and keep working at it. Thank you for coming this evening and listening to just a piece of my journey.